Sasha and Becky tear it up inside the cell. We have a new SmackDown Women's Champion and the disaster that was the main event. Your full Hell in a Cell review starts right after this. All right, so we're going to get right back to the WWE podcast in a second, but I just want to talk quickly about a product I recently came across, and it's called Mirrex, M-I-R-R-E-X. So for you guys out there, you may want to direct your female counterpart to this website. It's pretty cool. It's a makeup mirror, but it's much more than that. The company is based in Colorado, and just so you guys know, Mirrex stands for the Innovative Mirror. They're here to improve the lifestyle of individuals, and they want to take a step into the future, and that they have. They have taken the makeup mirror and turned it into a smart makeup mirror. So what's this going to do? It's going to change the way the mirrors are used. There are three levels of LED light for those last-minute face checks, and you can even charge your phone wirelessly. It also has an attachment to take that really cool, well-lighted selfie. So you guys really got to check this out. This is really, I've never seen anything like this. It's Mirrex.store, Mirrex.store. That's Mirrex.store. This is definitely one of the coolest things that I've seen, and it would make a great gift. So check out Mirrex.store today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
This is the WWE Podcast for this Hell in a Cell review on October 7th, 2019. It is a Monday, and Monday Night Raw is being recorded right now as I speak, so you guys always know I'm on a day delay from watching everything. I just don't have the time to watch it live, but I do catch it the next day, and that's why my shows are reviewed the next day. So tomorrow night will be my Monday Night Raw review, and then I will be doing a review show either on Saturday or Sunday next week, or this coming week, rather, for the Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. But have no fear, co-hosts will be also continuing, and that's not going to be ending. And we'll have our AEW and NXT podcasts this week. So you'll get a ton of content for any kind of wrestling that you enjoy, whether it's AEW or NXT or the main WWE product. All of those will be covered this week on this show. So hopefully that's enough content for you to keep you guys satisfied for the week. But before I get into this main event, which I'm going to lead off with. I'm going to lead off with the main event. I just have to. Normally, I would try to, you know, save it for later in the show and talk about other things up front, which I did enjoy. A lot of other things on the pay-per-view. Some of you completely bombed the pay-per-view, but I didn't. I had some things I loved about the pay-per-view, and I'm going to get to that too. And before I get into any of that, guys, I want to say thank you. Heartfelt thank you to all of the listeners who are making this show a real big success. We're climbing the rankings pretty damn fast. And in the wrestling podcast category of Apple Podcasts, we were ranked number 15 today, which is pretty damn awesome. Now, I know that these rankings fluctuate by the hour, but to even reach that that height of the wrestling category is pretty awesome. I mean, we beat Vince Russo's podcast. We beat Eric Bischoff's podcast, Peter Rosenberg's Cheap Heat podcast. We beat all of them, at least for the day. So we're trying to crack to the top 10. That's our next goal. And then, hey, sky's the limit from there. But thank you guys for making this show is what it is. And that's because of you. But you can follow me everywhere on WWEPodcast.com and also on Twitter at WWEPodcast and on Patreon, which many of you have joined over the last couple of days, and I do thank you. And giving you guys a shout-out to Maggie K. Thank you for being the latest patron of the show. And Dan Houck and Mariel DeSouza. I hope I said that right, guys. I'm awful with names right up front. So Dan and Mariel, thank you so much. And our newest WWE pay-per-view level patron of the show, Sean Harford. So, Sean, thank you so much, and as you have selected that level, you'll get to come on the show as a co-host and discuss anything that you'd like. We can do a review show, we can select your topic, but it's your call. anything you want to talk about WWE related. Looking forward to talking with you, Sean. So thank you so much. And everybody else, hey, guys, what are you waiting for? You want an ad-free experience? You really despise ads? I know I do. Especially when I'm listening to a podcast, I just want to listen to it and not have to worry about hitting the skip button or have to worry about trying to scrub through the audio and miss the ads. Easy way to do it. You don't have to worry about any of that by heading on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. And there's exclusive content there. Everything's ad-free. And if you select the WWE pay-per-view level of the tiers, you can get on this show, as Sean has done, and become a co-host for the evening and talk about any topic you'd like, or just a review show. It's really your call. So lots of cool perks and things that you can do on patreon.com/WWE podcast. So thank you, everybody, for taking the time to do that, and appreciate it. All right, guys. Let's not wait. Let's not wait. And I was this close to rating this show explicit. This close. But I didn't do it. And I'll tell you why I didn't do it, because I think a lot of the negativity towards the main event was balanced out somewhat, not completely, but just enough good came out of the pay-per-view to balance out what would have been a completely foul-languaged show. I try not to do that. I really do, because I think that there's a younger audience listening to this show, and maybe you're listening to this show in the car with your kids, and I do not want to be responsible for you turning off the show or not unsubscribing or whatever it may be, because this show has turned to the dark side and it's not kid friendly anymore. Well, so I tried to do that. Now, I can't promise that this show will never be explicit, because I'm sure that there will be booking even worse than what we had last night that will warrant an explicit show, of which, if that happens, I will warn you on Twitter. I will warn you at the very beginning of the show, and I'll also label it as explicit. So whatever ever does occur, it will be very clearly labeled for not kid friendly. So you don't have to worry about driving around in your minivan or whatever you're doing and having the kids go, "Oh my God, Daddy, what did he just say? What's that?" Yeah. So I don't want to give your kids an early education when it comes to that stuff. So I do understand that. I'm not saying we have 5-year-olds listening to the show, but again, I know that I do have parents who do, and sometimes they put me on in the house and whatever. So just a quick tidbit there. But with all of that said, let's talk about the main event. Let's talk about that main event. Because I have never seen such a negative reaction for a main event. Well, it's been, I don't even know the last time. Maybe the last time was Royal Rumble 2016, when we had, or is it Royal Rumble 15, when Roman Reigns was booed out of the building in Philadelphia with that snowed in Raw, with the blizzard that happened the next night and all of that. If you guys remember that, that might have been the last time that I can remember such a negative reaction to a show, the main event of the show specifically. Now, let's break this down. Did this match even need to happen? That's a question you need to ask. Was this a match that even needed to happen for the WWE Championship? Did The Fiend even need to compete in this match? Of course The Fiend needs to be in a match at some point. But you have essentially babyface versus babyface here. And you can book Bray Wyatt as heel all you want. I don't care whether you could label him whatever you want. The fact is he's going to be cheered. So I don't care how you try to book him. It's babyface. Seth Rollins, babyface. The guy that overcame Brock Lesnar. He slayed the king. He slayed beasts. He slayed monsters. All these nice little storybook type of phrases. And he's the guy that the fans chose because he can work his ass off. And he is a very good performer. Easy to like guy when he's the fighting champion. Although I still believe he's better as a heel. Still do. He's good as a babyface. Great as a heel. So I'll take him as a babyface right now. But what do you think is going to happen? What did WWE expect to happen with The Fiend versus Seth Rollins? What exactly did they expect to accomplish from this? How did they not see Bray Wyatt being cheered and Seth Rollins being booed? I mean, they could not. I'm going to go on the assumption that they could not have not seen that coming. So if it's a double negative, that means they saw it coming. Okay, fine. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt there and expect that they have that level of intelligence that they knew that Seth Rollins was going to be booed against the hottest, coolest thing that WWE's had in years. Maybe the last 10 years, dare I say. So that happens. And you have this match happening that really didn't need to happen to begin with. Then you have Seth Rollins come out, lower the cell that was covered in red. Oh, don't worry, we're going to get to the red theme of the night. Because not only was the cell painted red, I don't know if it was painted red last year, was it? Maybe it was, but if it was, it's been very recent. I'm not a fan of that. Why am I not a fan of the cell being painted red? Because it makes it feel like it's a toy of sorts. Like it's because when you go on kids' playgrounds, they spray paint and paint the mesh fence because it looks better, right? And it's actually safer because it coats the metal that could possibly have maybe like little bumps and ridges in them that could hurt somebody, right? But that aside, WWE has done fine for years and years and years. As they said, this was the 41st and 42nd Hell in a Cell match, which is in and of itself a crime that many Hell in a Cell matches have had, but that's in a rant for another show. And so they paint the cell red for the visual and the gimmick of the pay-per-view, right? The gimmick is that it's a Hell in a Cell. There's another rant for you, but I'll stop. And they paint it red, which I don't like. And maybe it's supposed to make up for the lack of actual blood that should be happening in a structure like this. I mean, the fact that there's no blood, you're just going for blood and guts. No, but it adds to the drama and the emotion of the match. Regardless of whatever Hell in a Cell, not everybody has to bleed like Ric Flair, all right? Not everyone has to bleed like Shawn Michaels used to do. I'm talking about just how are there no visible marks on somebody's face when you ram their face, allegedly, into a steel mesh structure? And there's nothing. Nothing. There's the red cell, so that's supposed to, I guess, make up for our craving for blood. I don't know. So moving on from that, because I'm sure you guys don't care too much about that, was the Fiend entrance. First of all, love the Fiend entrance. This is something I did love about the match, was the entrance. How about that? I enjoyed the entrance of the Fiend. I think he came out. His music is badass. Badass. His lantern, badass. Everything about the entrance of the Fiend, you know the word. I just said it twice. Awesome. It's awesome. So that was probably the best part of the next 20 minutes of the match. So the cell lowers, and the Fiend enters. And I'm waiting for the lights to come on. And as they start to wrestle, I'm like, okay, they're just going to go with the red lights. And I'm trying to be positive before I start to really rail into this thing. I understand the effect they're going with with the lights. That it's the Fiend is special. Maybe he has powers. Okay. And that may sound silly, but Kane had them. Undertaker's had them. Bray Wyatt's had them. A lot of stars in the past have had powers that we are led to believe are there. So we go with it. This is fantasy land. That's fine. So if that's the effect they're going with, and Bray maybe is the darkness that overshadows the arena and sucks the light out of it, fine. Okay, fine. He's, you know, whatever. I it was a little weird that it was a red light. It was distracting at times. And I'm sure in the arena you were thinking, what the hell? Like, can they just turn the effing lights on? I'm sure that people were saying that. Like, it was a little weird visually. You had to get past it, and it took a few 5-10 minutes for me to just get into the match and not be so damn distracted by the lights. It was weird. It did have a weird feeling, and if they're going for that, okay, but I don't know if that really, the benefit of that outweighed the fact that it was just straight distracting, and maybe it was overkill. I don't know. But speaking of overkill, guys, buckle in. All right, just put your seatbelt in. Strap in. I actually had to take deep breaths before this show to make sure that it did not go off the explicit tracks, okay? So, speaking of overbooking, the match that proceeded, while it was, I think, pleasantly paced at times, meaning I could digest what was going on, it wasn't your typical 2019 Ricochet match of spot, no selling. I enjoyed the pace more than most, I think. The finish is where we have to go. I mean, and here's the other thing. I know that they were going that the Fiend is this unbeatable monster. I get it. I get that the Fiend is supposed to be this elemental being from, you know, the depths of hell, and that he is not human, and that he is supposed to take crazy amounts of punishment and keep coming. I understand all of that. But there comes a point, and here's what Vince did not understand last night. There comes a point where that narrative is not worth the sacrifice of Seth Rollins' moveset and exposing your product, which it actually approached exposing the product during the main event. It took me out of the moment after about the fourth or fifth stomp. I know that he did it to Brock Lesnar. I know it did. He did it. He did it to Brock. He did it to Braun. He did it to Braun Strowman at the Clash of Champions pay-per-view and hit him with three or four stomps and a pedigree, and it put him down. That was approaching a little bit much, but I went with it. It's Braun Strowman. Fine. Now you have the Fiend, who puts on a mask, and all of a sudden he's, you know, God. It was a little much. It did damage to Seth Rollins' moveset. It did damage to Bray Wyatt's character because it's completely unbelievable. It did damage to the product of WWE itself, the presentation of the entire product itself by no selling. I know that Hogan has no sold, but that's part of his gimmick, and he only does it once. Hogan gets like one magic move per match. He gets one Hulk up. And if you're playing a video game, you got to hit it just right. It felt like that. With this, it felt like Bray Wyatt had unlimited rebounds or something. I don't know. It felt like he was just too powerful. And I don't like that. I know that the Fiend is, they're building him super strong. I mean, you know, you're the fans, you wanted him build strong. But there comes a point where it's cartoonish. It comes to the point where it feels like it's too, the guys that are in there messing around, you know, with their friends, and like it feels like something my friends and I would do if we were in the ring together, just kind of goofing around. Like it felt like video game-ish, and not in a good way. It exposed Seth. It exposed Bray. I think it hurt the Fiend. It hurt the product, and the fans responded accordingly. The fans responded accordingly with a shower of boos, and deservedly so. And apparently, according to backstage reports, Vince McMahon was laughing at the crowd reaction. Now, some may say that that's a cover for his faults, and I would be absolutely inclined to believe that. Mr. Man's Man Alpha Male does not want to show any kind of weakness or admit that, hey, you know, I effed up. The creative on this was awful. Instead, he tries to laugh it off to the crowd and basically going with, yeah, I knew they were going to do that, ha, 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 blah, 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 blah. No. Vince McMahon needs to take this one on the chin and realize this was not just a bad ending and a bad booking decision. It crushed the pay-per-view. It crushed Seth. Listen to the reaction Seth got. Crushed the Fiend. It stopped the momentum of the Fiend in its tracks. And let's get going on this. I know there's another part to this. What about the referee all of a sudden deciding that even though there are no rules in this match, let me repeat what that phrase means. No rules, no rules, which means other than the rule of having to pin or submit your opponent to win, that's the only way this match ends, is having a referee decide that Seth Rollins using a sledgehammer on a ladder, which was on a chair, which really just kind of softened the blow, admittedly, and it should, I mean, safety here, was too much. And the referee, out of his own discretion, decided to stop the match. Okay. I need to take a breath. Since when is this a thing? Since when does the referee get to just indiscriminately decide in a match that has no rules? No rules, that's the key. If this match had rules and it was sanctioned and there was disqualifications, countouts, all that kind of stuff, and the referee decides to call the bell, fine. Fine. But let me also reiterate what the name of this match is. Hell. I cannot speak any more clearly into this microphone. Hell in a Cell. What's that first word? Hell. Now, hell is, now, I'm not going to get into religious views, but the general belief is that hell is one of the worst places to be ever, right? So, if this is hell in a cell, how does a referee who's not even in the match get to decide this match ends? Now, I would say this match could end if one of the competitors or both competitors were legitimately hurt, a la Mick Foley in 98. Fine. I'm all for the safety of the performers. Absolutely. I do not want anyone to get actually hurt and continue. But this was a planned ref stoppage. Planned ref stoppage. What the actual F is going on here? I'm serious. What the hell is going on? I tweeted this out. What did I just effing watch? What was that? I've never seen a more overbooked, overthought, overproduced main event in my life. It's as if WWE had something that they knew was hot. And this is what I'm talking about. This is the danger of when WWE knows they have something. What do? They beat it into the ground. They beat it until it's into a bloody pulp. And they think that they can give you more and more and more and think that it's better and better and better. Instead, the Fiend is a character that will give you more when you see him less. And when you have him as the face of a match in which it exposes the product, pisses off the fans, gives them a non-finish, that damages his character big time. Hurts Seth Rollins, as I said. And the referee that didn't have, had zero reason and zero authority, really, zero authority to stop this match. Unless it was a legitimate injury, of course, then stop it. But this had garbage written all over it. I completely agree with the fans in attendance. Most of you on Twitter. I haven't seen Raw, so maybe they were able to do some damage control here. But boy, what a blank show. It was. It was a crap show. Y'all know what I'm going to say, right? You know what I'm really thinking. That was, and again, they were very physical during the match. I think that they were, the pacing was good, able, allowed you to really see what was going on. Well, see, I guess, in the metaphoric terms, because the red light was just very distracting at times. I don't want that to happen for every single Fiend match, by the way. I don't need it to. And having the Fiend kick out of, you know, what was 11 stomps total? I think that was the final count. 11 stomps. And the Fiend kicks out, kicks out, kicks out, kicks out, gets up, lays down. It was a complete exposure. And now has watered down Seth Rollins' finish to the point where it was a joke. You used to look at the stomp and go, oh my God, wow, that's a damn good looking move. Match over, and it would end the match. Instead, the Fiend takes 11, takes a pedigree, takes kind of a chair shot to the head, if you notice that. I noticed it. It takes stairs and Cell and just knees to this face and pedigree. Like, and I know what they were going for, but I think it was something that was overdone, overproduced, and overbooked. End of subject. End of subject. And I don't even know where they go from here. They got a real mess on their hands. WWE needs to do some serious damage control after that disaster of a booking, and Vince McMahon can laugh it off all he wants as this is not a problem, and Mr. Ego will say that all the fans will forget. Fans don't remember anything. Oh, yeah, they will. Yeah, they will. You know why they will? Because The Fiend is a character that was the most, and maybe still be, depending on how damaged he is, may still be the most intriguing character WWE's had in a decade. And for WWE to overbook it, this is on creative. And unfortunately, Seth and The Fiend are collateral damage in creative's missteps here, in Vince McMahon's sign-off. But Vince McMahon can laugh it off all he wants, but when you have a character this hot and you botch the main event the way you did, boy, oh boy. They need a miracle right now. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying it's impossible for WWE to do damage control and get things back on track. But with Crown Jewel coming up, a disaster of it in and of itself, based on the pay-per-view history of that one, basically called Blood Money pay-per-view. I mean, let's just call it the Blood Money pay-per-view live from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. I mean, let's be totally honest, right? So those are my thoughts. I mean, if I'm going to continue here, I'm just going to repeat myself. But those are my general thoughts. I honestly don't know where they go from here. Again, the best thing about that entire match, The Fiend's entrance. And that's all I got to say about that, as Stone Cold would say. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we get back, a lot of good stuff I actually want to talk about with Hell in a Cell. So stay right here. All right, well, guys, at the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. There really isn't anything better, right? Sunday comes along where you got to go to work Monday, but football's always there for you, right? They're that like best friend that comes with you on Sunday. They're always there. There's just nothing like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So how do you do that? You go to mybookie.ag. Easy, right? Mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. All you have to do is head to mybookie.ag. Just do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football this season, just bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, just try a parlay. If all of your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year to bet, hands down. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Just use promo code WWE to activate the offer. That's promo code WWE to activate that offer of doubling your deposit. Go visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. So let's talk about something I really liked. And that was the women's side of the Hell in a Cell with Becky and Sasha, who I thought really tore it down. They might have had the match of the night. The pacing was great. Some of the bumps, my God, the Meteora onto Becky, into the ladder, which it was into the cell. Great stuff. They fought outside the cell, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with. You know, I know that I'm sure the competitors want to take it outside the cell, and they always try to find creative ways to do it, and it's so fine. Cool. No problem there. These two really laid it on the line. I really, really loved how they meshed together. You know, Sasha, of course, ended up tapping out, but a very hard-fought victory. Sasha laid everything inside the ring. The creative things they did with the chair outside of the ring, and they really. By the way, was there a headshot with the chair in that match? Did Becky hit Sasha on the outside of the ring with a chair towards the head? I mean, maybe it was just me. I don't know. It could have been the camera angle, but it was very noteworthy. I should say that. I think both women really did a great job there. I'm singing the praises of this match. I mean, if I have 5 stars, I give it 4 out of 5 stars. It was very, very well done, and it was a great way to start the show. I mean, whenever they have duplicate matches like this, you have to space them out, from one end to the other, right? It makes total sense that these two open the show. A little surprised that Becky Lynch won here. If you guys listen to me, you know it's no secret. I'm ready for Becky Lynch to drop the belt. I just am. So while I love the match, I think I took the star off only because I didn't like the outcome. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me from a perspective of you have Sasha back. hot as white hot as a heel, and then cool her off every week, not give her the mic, which ultimately is what helped her get super over as a heel, and then have her in this match, have Becky Lynch win, and win clean and decisively. So my thoughts are that it was a missed opportunity for Sasha. We know what Becky is as champion, and she has been champion since WrestleMania in the main event. And I'm all for making main event championship matches stick. I'm all for championships changing hands to stick as a general rule, but particularly at WrestleMania. And they're doing that, and I appreciate that. But I'm also getting to the point of like, okay, we get it. I'm ready to see an awesome heel be champion and everybody else go into chase mode. We're getting later in the year now, and the general rule of thumb is, as we approach the larger pay-per-views towards the end of the year here, now we're going to be rolling towards Survivor Series, believe it or not, and then Royal Rumble, and then, of course, WrestleMania. And the general rule here is that you want your heel champions well-established and in place for the babyfaces to make their journey, because it's all about taking them on the ride and making sure that there's a journey the babyface goes on to chase that heel at the top and climb that mountain. Because the money, if you're a wrestling promotion, you know the money is not necessarily the actual accomplishment of reaching the top of the mountain, but it's how they get there and the journey they take to get there. Because that's how you create an organic connection with the fans, is by getting the fans on board with and being able to relate with that individual's journey. So I think it was I think back to Sasha and Becky, I think it was a bit of a missed opportunity there. I don't know if we'll see Sasha and Becky again. I mean, now that we go into this fantasy land of Crown Jewel, which the outcomes mean nothing, and it's the prince paying WWE exorbitant amounts of money for his little playground of video games come to life type of roster. And that's all Crown Jewel is. That's all any Saudi Arabia event is simply how many zeros can I put on this check to get WWE to make my personal favorite matchups, even if they don't make sense, even if it causes people to come out of retirement that don't need to be and embarrass themselves. Sorry, Sean, love you, but didn't need to be done. Doesn't matter how many zeros we need to put. And that's ultimately what the Saudi Arabia events are. That's what they are, is nothing more than a propaganda tool that Saudi Arabia uses of WWE to spread their message. I'll say that. I'm not going to get political. Spread their message to as many people as they can to alter the perception of how Saudi Arabia culture and current environment is as it stands right now. And WWE just goes, okay, and yeah, we'll do that. We'll run your silly little ads, even if they're not true. And then we'll put any card together that you want. You just keep writing the zeros, and we'll keep bringing in the stars, even if it doesn't make sense. That's ultimately what this is about. And yes, of course, it's not going completely off the rails and totally random matches that are way off any storyline. But look at any Saudi Arabia card, and I will compare it to any normal stateside pay-per-view, and you will see when it's a pay-per-view that's back-to-back. So if you took, in this case, Hell in a Cell, and you put it up against Crown Jewel, you're going to probably look at that and go, how the hell did so-and-so get with so-and-so? That's easy. The prince just put enough zeros on the check. That's your answer. So I'm not really looking forward to Crown Jewel. I don't think many people are. Right now, the focus is on completely trashing Hell in a Cell as many people are. And to be honest with you, yes, the main event was a disaster. But I don't want to taint the rest of how I viewed the card up until that point with the complete dumpster fire that was the end of the match and end of the show. And as I'm recording this, some people are telling me that it's actually a official DQ finish for the main event. Oh, my God. I'm really trying not to cycle back to that. But if that's true, if it was truly a disqualification that happened inside the cell, I'm going to lose my mind. So I'm going to take a breath and pretend I didn't see that and pretend that's actually not the case and people are getting it wrong, that there was actually a DQ inside Hell in a Cell. I'm going to pretend that didn't happen. And praise both women, Sasha and Becky. The brutality of that match, it was a long match, but it didn't feel long. I love the fact that she was attacking the arm of Becky at times and slamming her arm into the door, and just the way that that they were looking at each other and the trash talk, everything felt very well done inside the cell there. The match called for Hell in a Cell, or at least because of the pay-per-view. I don't think personally that the actual feud called for it, but hey, it was deserving of the cell after I watched it and went, all right, these two ladies tore it down. They set a tone for the pay-per-view that I thought was going to continue. And, well, let's continue to the rest of the card and let's see what I thought. We had Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan defeat Luke Harper and Rowan in a – now it's just Rowan. I don't know if Eric Rowan is a thing. His first name comes and goes. In a tornado tag team match. Well, so I'll say this. Good match. I will give all four men a 3 out of 5 stars. I really will. I think that the match had great pacing, energy, and Harper and Rowan are very good as a team. You know, you remember why they were a team. And I like the establishment and emergence of Eric Rowan, or just Rowan, whatever the hell he is. Let's call him Rowan. I like the emergence of Rowan in the last couple of months. We learned he can actually talk a bit. He's got a presence. He still hasn't quite found it, but he's got something there. And I like these two together. Luke Harper and his eyes and his gaze that just goes into nowhere is absolute money. I love it. And I kept waiting for Daniel Bryan to drive that knee into Roman Reigns, and we all get, oh my God, and the crowd chants yes, 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 even though they're all heels. I still think it's coming. I think this is true dedication on the part of all three men, and when Daniel Bryan finally does turn, he's going to say, there's no depths that I would not go to show you you are a vulnerable human being. I mean, there's ways that Daniel Bryan can spin this that even though he has gone through wars now with Harper and Rowan, that he's doing this for the greater good of proving to us that Roman Reigns is vulnerable, or whatever thing he wants to spin it as, whatever his motive is, it's almost irrelevant. It's when this turn is coming, because Daniel Bryan is not back in full yes mode. He's being a very withdrawn babyface, very reserved babyface. He's not going all out. He's just kind of doing his thing, not doing the yes chance, and just doing what he does inside the ring, which is just be amazing and just be Daniel Bryan. That's what he's doing. So I think the turn's coming. I think he's going to sell it as, I had all you people fooled. I had to make sure all of you were bought in. Yeah, this will happen because I need to see a Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns program. It needs to happen. So I think it will. It's just taking time, and it's about getting the crowd to buy in. I'm sure that there are some of the audience that aren't even thinking of this, and that's why I have this show, for conspiracy theories. And to maybe look behind the curtain a bit, right? And how they book things. But I hope that's coming. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. But to me, that's a better long-term story. And I would love Daniel Bryan as the leader of that trio. I think it would be a perfect fit. Roman would have someone to have a long-standing program with. There's backstory with Bryan and Roman. I keep saying Roman and Roman. Roman and Bryan have history all the way back to 2015. You could draw on that. Lots of ways to go here, and I think ultimately we're going to get there. Randy Orton defeats Ali. I don't know what to say about this. I mean, I didn't even know it was part of the card. Fine. It's just your standard. It felt like a house show match that happened to be on a pay-per-view. Ali is very talented in the ring. Same goes for Orton. It's your just standard match. Okay, it's kind of one of those things that's like, just get us to the RKO. That's all. That's it. I mean, you had your obligatory 10-minute Randy Orton rear chin lock in the middle of the ring that happened. And that's just kind of what Randy Orton does every single match. And we got the RKO. Everyone goes home happy. No one cares about Ali, and we move on because no one knows anything about Ali except he does really cool street promos and apparently has the ability to heal alcoholics and heal drug dealers or whatever. That's apparently what he has. His superpower is just being able to look at people and instantly heal them. He's the second coming of Christ. I don't know. But Randy Orton right now is in no man's land, and so is Ali, and I don't know why this match was even on the card. Honestly. I didn't have anything just bad to say about the match. It was just there. Just there. All right. Well, moving on. Kabuki Warriors defeated Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross in the Women's Tag Team Championship match. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this more than most. Why? Because of the finish. I mean, the tag match was very standard, and Alexa Bliss is just, you know, out there with Nikki, and Nikki Cross and her continue to have very good chemistry. I don't think WWE anticipated these two to last this long. And then we have what I consider the biggest talking point coming out of this, and that was something of a green mist. If you guys remember back in the Attitude Era, there was somebody named Tajiri who used to do this to his opponents. I have not seen this green mist since Tajiri, and I loved it. I don't know why the Japanese wrestlers have to be the ones to use this. Maybe it's some kind of cultural thing. I'm asking. I don't know. It just happens to be Tajiri, who was the last known individual that I saw that used the green mist to his advantage. So we had Kairi Sane use this, and it was awesome. I loved it. I think it was well done. On Nikki Cross's face, she gets the kick. They get the win, the title change. It came at a great time in which Nikki and Alexa, I'll be honest, I thought that they'd be able to really elevate these belts. And while they did, I guess, by name value of Alexa alone, which helped, there was never any real focus on the women's tag belts. These two never really got a chance to shine and talk and have a long run and really add the value to the belts. I mean, they were elevated, but very slightly. Now you have a chance with these two, with the Kabuki Warriors, with Asuka and Kairi Sane, to really do something here with a long-standing run. And having this green mist always out there, very good, added a depth to their whole gimmick, which I did not see coming, but was well needed, much needed. And I am I'm much more excited about the women's tag team belts than I ever have been. Outside of the Iconics, who were just completely shorthanded in their title run, and I think should have had a much longer championship run than they did, and were almost lost on SmackDown for weeks on end. No one knows where they are. They didn't want to defend the belts. They're here in their backstage segment, completely an afterthought, which was a total mishandling of the belts and that team. I don't even know where the Iconics are, honestly. It's a shame. I really love how obnoxious they are. They're so good, damn good at being a pain in the ass. I love it. All right, then we got the Viking Raiders and Braun Strowman defeating the OC by DQ. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the DQ purpose serves. It was just kind of a running theme of the night on a pay-per-view. I don't see anything on here other than, hey, the Viking Raiders got more eyeballs on them than they have in their entire career. I mean, I guess that's ultimately the benefactor here. Because Braun Strowman, I mean, he's coming out there and What does the OC mean anymore? I mean, really, they have kind of gone by the wayside. They got new entrance music. That's cool. But hey, I really don't have much to say about this match because it honestly meant nothing. It was really just a setup for the announcers to talk about Braun Strowman and his interaction with Tyson Fury. So, I mean, that's really all this whole thing was. I don't know. It didn't do a whole lot for me, so let's move on down the line here. Chad Gable and Baron Corbin. Again, Chad Gable. This is a guy that doesn't get you excited until he starts wrestling. I would like him to have more of a voice. He is one of the best performers WWE has. I was thinking that maybe he was going to have his breakout performance. Or he did have his breakout performance against Chad Gable, or against Baron Corbin. And then WWE does not capitalize. a la Buddy Murphy against Roman Reigns a few months back that I said was possibly the match of the year. And I still stand by that, of how damn good it was. And yet WWE does not do anything with it, and Buddy Murphy has gone into oblivion. So Chad Gable, to me, is a guy that needs to – WWE needs to stop with this short thing. It's not good heel heat. It's a terrible reflection on the company and the ideology of Vince McMahon. That's where this stems from. I've said it before. This short thing comes from the mind of Vince McMahon that he truly believes – this is real – truly believes that wrestlers should be 6'5", 250, muscular, veins popping out. And when he sees a guy of Chad Gable's size, he still cannot wrap his head around why fans cheer for him. That's not a guess. That's not a maybe. That's Vince McMahon. At 70 years old, that is Vince McMahon. So this whole Chad is short thing needs to stop, and the puns need to stop. It's awful. It's not heel heat. It's just awful. Just awful. Even Greg Hamilton, the announcer, called him Shorty Gable. Seriously? The announcer? If I was Chad Gable, I would have gone up and punched him in the mouth. How does Chad Gable have any self-respect to stand there when people just are poking fun at him and stand there and sulk like he was, football captain came up and squirted mustard in your face at the school cafeteria and the whole school was watching. And you just stand there and sulk. It makes him look like a fool. And then they just pick on him for his height. How does no one see that Rey Mysterio, one of the most successful superstars of all time, shorter than Gable? It's stupid. It's just so, so shallow. But the match itself was good. The match itself, I enjoyed it because these two have a good chemistry and Chad Gable is ultra talented. So it was a good match. Charlotte Flair defeats Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Solid match. I've seen them perform better with each other, but the work was pretty good here. And Bayley trying to use her underhanded tactics to win the match made sense. She tried to use the ropes to her advantage. The referee caught her. I love that kind of stuff. Ultimately, she taps out to Charlotte in the figure eight. And the most interesting point of all this, not Charlotte necessarily winning, because Charlotte is like the default SmackDown Women's Champion at any given time. It's not interesting, really, that Charlotte won. She's a 10-time champion. That's not necessarily the interesting part. Her busting her lip, not necessarily the interesting part. The interesting part of this to me was Bayley's reaction to this. Is this, I'm wondering, is this the start of something? Because I've been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks that the evolution of the Bayley character needs to go darker. I need to see progression. I need her to get rid of the stupid Bayley buddies and the side ponytail and the Macho Man, strings on her arms and all the shucks is me thing. And I need for her to get all of that and take steps towards the dark side. It just is calling for it. Bayley's character needs this. So maybe with the reaction of the camera that lingered on her for a long time, I mean, really, it lingered for a long time, perhaps this is a sign of her throwing tantrums and getting angry at the crowd. I would love to see Bayley with a face that is just pure evil. I want to see the pure evil Bayley face. What does that look like? What does that look like? I would love to see it, but I still believe that Bayley should have retained the championship and continued to use hook or crook to keep the championship. Charlotte doesn't need it. I think Bayley was starting to gain some ground as a heel if they continued to progress her as a heel. The problem was they were just letting her float out there as, well, you're heel by association because you're with Sasha. But even Sasha stopped talking on the mic. She's just kind of there. She has her same entrance. Everybody's the same. They look the same. Everything's the same. Except we're together, and Sasha came back and attacked Becky, even though she attacked Becky to begin with, and Becky retaliated. This whole thing is just, all right. I'm going down a really, really dangerous road for myself. So that's the pay-per-view as a whole. Again, if I was to give this pay-per-view a star rating out of 5, I would say it's a 2 out of 5. 2 out of 5. And the reason for that is 2 stars were taken away, at least a star and a half, from the nonsensical garbage, the overbooked nonsense of, I'm going to go with this, a DQ finish for a Hell in a Cell match. I mean, that's like saying a match ended by pinfall in a submission match. I mean, seriously, think about that. That's exactly what they're saying here. If, in fact, again, if, in fact, because I don't remember hearing an announced winner by, you know, disqualification. If I did, I missed it. But I'm going to go with the fact, and let me look it up here. And I'm going to go to WWE.com while I'm with you guys on the air. Normally, I would hit pause and do this, but we're going to look at this live. I want to look at the match here. So, okay, results here on WWE.com. Universal Champion, this is the official recording as of WWE.com. Universal Champion Seth Rollins versus The Fiend Bray Wyatt ended in a match stoppage. Hell in a Cell match. Okay, so they're saying it's a match stoppage. I don't know what warranted a match stoppage. Again, Hell in a Cell. Does anybody understand that? I mean, I love the fact that the fans were also chanting AEW. Thank you. They were chanting refund and you know, BS and all that. Thank you. Even the Fiend's attack on Seth at the end couldn't help. It was overkill at that point. It was too little too late. The ship had sailed. People had turned on this match. They made up their minds that this match was garbage. They wanted the match restarted. It was the more I'm thinking about the match, I'm almost in shock of how overbooked this match was and how much damage was done by the finish of this match. Really, Seth Rollins, I think, could easily turn heel Monday night, tonight. I don't know if he did. Probably not. Again, it's right now it's 10:20 at night as I record this. I've not seen a lick of Monday Night Raw, but I was thinking to myself, this could be a perfect way for Seth to turn back to heel. And I don't know why they didn't give the Bray the belt. I really don't know. I don't know. But this is a classic WWE overbooking, overthinking, overproducing, and taking something that the fans love and get behind and effing it up with their complete mismanagement of something. They don't know how to deal and manage something and milk it for all it's worth when they have something that they know the fans love. And I don't think that WWE anticipated the fans to love this character as much as they did. And then when they saw it, they go, oh, crap, what do we do? Oh, let's give him everything. He's unbeatable. He's like Superman. He's, you know, we're going to give him as much as we can of him, and they'll love us for more and more and more. And that is a backwards philosophy. How do they not understand the human psyche? Less is more. Not in everything, across everything in life, but in wrestling. I've watched wrestling since 97, 22 years. I have been watching wrestling, and I think I know something when I see it. And when they have something this hot, and you blow it up like this, it's a clear mismanagement and misjudgment by Vince McMahon, who can laugh it off all he wants with his male ego that will not allow him to accept defeat that he made the wrong choice. Because you did, Vince. You did. So, well, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show today. I try to keep it PG. I did have to pause a couple of times and cuss, but if you guys are interested in a explicit show, let me know. What I may do, and now that I'm thinking about it, kind of thinking about it, and actually, I thought about this in the shower earlier. I don't know about you guys, but I come up with some really good ideas when I'm in the shower. When I'm in the shower, you just contemplate life, don't you? I don't know what it is about taking a shower. You just think about your life, right? But anyway, my idea was maybe doing explicit shows on the Patreon feed. And many of you are like, oh, but I don't want to pay a dollar to... Well, here, that's the kick, right? That is the hook, is if you guys want explicit shows, maybe I will start doing them on Patreon. Maybe. Well, let me know what you guys think. But for now, guys, that's all I got. Again, I'll be back tomorrow for the Raw review, which I hope I will be a little bit more positive about. And as we roll towards, good God almighty, Crown Jewel. Could there ever be a more uplifting pay-per-view event coming up? So Crown Jewel's coming up, and hopefully, you know, American journalists won't be chopped up and sliced and diced this time, you know, and we all have to wonder if the pay-per-view is going to still continue, and all that goes with it. It's such a lovely time to be a wrestling fan, and it truly is. I mean, this week, again, we have the AEW review show. We have a NXT podcast coming back. It's returning this week with a new host, and of course tomorrow night, and then back on this weekend with the Friday Night SmackDown review. So we still got 1, 2, 3, 4 shows to go this week, guys. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you guys are too. Thanks so much for making the show a success. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I'll talk to you next time.